Good afternoon. My name is Leslie Keller, and I will be your conference operator for today. Participation in this conference call is strictly limited to invited participants. This call is exclusively for financial analysts and investors. If you are not an invited guest, please disconnect at this time. At this time, I would like to welcome you to the conference call on the report on economic activity, public finances, and public debt as of the fourth quarter of 2021. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answers session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press star 8 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star 8 again. I will now introduce you to the speakers. Jaime Villarreal Camero, Chief Economist of the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, and Maria del Carmen Bonilla, Head of the Debt Management Office at the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, to proceed with their remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good afternoon to everybody. I hope you're all doing okay. I'm going to start, as usual, talking to you a little bit about how we are seeing things in the global economy and financial conditions, then move on to how what we're seeing for the Mexican economy in particular and financial conditions as well, and then move on to public finances. What we are seeing for global economic and financial conditions at the end of 2021 and the beginning of 2022 is a little bit of a mixed picture. We had just recently some positive data coming from economies with systemic importance. We're also seeing new challenges for financial and commodities markets in the horizon, and also, but some ongoing challenges are showing some signs of easing down. So, growth accelerated during the fourth quarter in the U.S., going from 0.6 in the third quarter to 1.7% in the fourth quarter. And also it accelerated in China. It went from 0.7% in the third quarter to 1.6% in the fourth quarter. Of course, the continued supply disruptions and tighter than previously expected fiscal and monetary policies are weighing in 2020 prospects for the U.S., while continued contractions in China's real estate sector are also expected to affect growth this year. We had new challenges, or some of them becoming more salient to the global economy and financial and commodity markets over the last month. First, there is still the risk of a faster than expected normalization of Fed's policy, which will have implications for financial conditions in emerging markets. As you know, a faster rate increases in responses to higher than expected inflation. Just today we saw the release of the PCE inflation. So higher than expected inflation and expectations could bring volatility and tighten financial conditions worldwide. The outlook is particularly challenging for emerging markets, which have a high public debt level and little foreign exchange reserves. We're also seeing some geopolitical tensions between Russia and the UN in the U.S. escalating since December, which has increased volatility in both financial and commodity markets, particularly energy markets. On January 26th, the Brent crude prices surpassed the $90 per barrel for the first time since 2014, and European gas prices have been pretty high, also because of weather conditions, but also affected by these geopolitical tensions, and they hit a record high last month. However, we're seeing some challenges that have shaped the economic outlook since 2020 and second half of 2021, reaching apparently a turning point. First, Omicron's impact on health seemed milder. Infections are expected to decline faster than during previous waves. And also some epidemiologists estimate that COVID-19 could become endemic this year. This will have significant implications for health systems and the economy, of course. And also some indicators suggest some easing of disruptions in global supply chains. So for example, the recently released Global Supply Chain Pressure Index by the New York Federal Reserve, moderated in November 2021. And we also saw a decrease in the Baltic Dry Index in the fourth quarter of 57% compared to the end of third quarter. And then another 39% up until just January 25th. The Harpex Index has overall stayed flat since the end of the third quarter, after having increased 258% between year-end 2020 and the end of the third quarter in 2021. I'm going to move on now to how we're seeing Mexico's economic outlook. As you know, the country has a solid external position, financial stability, robust macroeconomic fundamentals, and different buffers and sound public finances to face any possible external and internal shocks. I will elaborate more on the state of public finances in a few minutes, but at this point I would like to emphasize the rest because it's relevant for what I just mentioned, what we're seeing in the global economy. First, international reserves amount to $202 billion, or close to 20% of GDP, and not enough to cover its total imports for 5 months. Second, we have a flexible exchange rate, which will help offset the impact of rising financing costs through external demand. And finally, as you know, we have several credit lines with international institutions, including the recently renewed flexible credit line with the IMF for $50 billion. Moreover, Mexico Central Bank has provided time and again clear signs of its firm commitment to use the tools at its disposal to fulfill its constitutional mandate. So this will help us weather these shocks, these challenges that we are seeing in external conditions. What are we seeing for economic activity in Mexico? The challenging global environment in terms of high inflation, shortages of inputs, and the effects of a third and fourth waves of COVID-19 have continued to influence the evolution of the Mexican economy as well, of course, as is happening in other countries. The disruptions in global supply chains continued affecting industrial activities, also exports and inflation performance in 2021. The industry showed no variation in the bimester October and November compared to the previous one, August to September, and it is at remains at 97% of its pre-pandemic level. The automotive sector was particularly hit by Omicron spread in the U.S. in December. As you know, Omicron hit first in the U.S. It was only now in January when we saw a significant rise in cases here in Mexico. So automotive exports decreased close to 9% month-to-month in December. But according to the PMIs, the rest of manufacturing is showing or will show a better performance. Also we're seeing better data for intermediate and capital goods imports. So this points towards improvements in industrial activity in the following months. They increased the non-oil intermediate goods imports increased 2.8% in the fourth quarter, and capital goods imports increased 3.4% in the fourth quarter compared to the third quarter both. So this should help in the following months. Now, what about services? The COVID-19 pandemic plus, as you know, some changes in laws and regulations in terms of outsourcing have weighed on services. This activity decreased 0.3% in the period October-November compared to the previous one, and they are at 95% of its pre-pandemic level of February 2020. However, as we have discussed before, the impact on outsourcing is more of a change in the productive structure of the economy, which is gradual, and there are tensions, of course, but it's expected in general to fade off. Plus, also we're seeing the activities that were hardest hit by the pandemic, such as transportation, entertainment, and lodging, restaurants, and bars, growing faster, so they are expected to catch up over the following months. Finally, headline inflation reached 7.7% in the second half of November. It came down to 7.1% in the first half of January, but as you know, core inflation continues increasing. However, specialist inflation expectations remain anchored within Banxico's variability interval at 3.68% for the medium term and 3.5% for the long term. So this is important. Let me now quickly mention a couple of elements that we believe will positively contribute to growth during 2022. First, employment. Employment recovery relatively fast, and it is now above 2019 levels. This is expected to support consumption and the domestic demand in general over the following months. In the fourth quarter, 873,000 jobs were created versus the previous one, and 710,000 of them belong to services, which was the sector hardest hit by the pandemic. We also are seeing female employment already above pre-pandemic levels, which was important because it was lagging behind for several months. We saw an increase in 2021 in the wage bill of 8.1% in real terms. And also, November figures provided by the Inter-American Development Bank show a faster recovery of employment and even growth in Mexico in November compared to Brazil. We only have figures for October for Brazil, but also compared to Colombia, to Peru, and Chile. Second, and this is also important for the external part, despite all the issues faced by supply chains and other challenges, exports in 2021 already surpassed 2019 exports by 7.3%. So we expect that our open and flexible economy will be another engine of growth this year. We saw oil and mining exports increasing 20.3% in 2021 compared to 2019. Manufacturing increasing 6.2%. We have a heterogeneous performance there because non-automotive exports, manufacturing exports, grew almost 13%, whereas automotive exports decreased 5.4%. And finally, agro exports increased 10.3% in 2021 compared to 2019. Now, what do we have for public finances in 2021? Our strong commitment to prudent fiscal and macro policies reflecting sound public finances and a decline in debt in 2021, as you already saw in the quarterly report. We expect this to support macroeconomic and financial stability, as it has been the case in the previous years, and therefore economic recovery and growth in 2022 and beyond. So let us start with revenues. Public sector revenues were 422 billion pesos higher than the program, or 5.6% higher in real terms compared to 2020. Let me highlight some results for revenues. First, even excluded the financial support for Pemex amortization and its successful liability management operation carried out in December, the additional revenues amounted to 2019.4 billion pesos. Second, the difference between observed tax revenues and the estimates that we used in the 22 budget estimation was only 8.3 billion pesos. This means that we have a sound basis for achieving revenues goals this year. Third, excluding revenues from fuels, tax revenues were close to 163 billion pesos above the program and grew 4.1% in real terms versus 2020. Most of this growth comes from the VAT, which has grown at an average annual rate of 2.5% since 2018. Fourth, the federal government's oil revenues were 21.7 billion pesos above the program, even after tax and duties relief and deferral measures that were implemented to help Pemex with liquidity issues. Now, at the end of 2020, we had surplus revenues for what we call, as you know, the Bolsa General, revenues that have a specific spending purpose. So these surplus revenues amounted to 50.5 billion pesos. We are following the fiscal responsibility law, and so 40.6 billion pesos of this 50.5 were used to improve the federal government's balance to compensate for additional electricity generation costs that we observed during the year, and therefore improve the public sector balance. And another 9.9 billion pesos will be transferred to different funds and investment in states as the responsibility of states. More specifically, for the FEF, the Fund for the States, the Stabilization Fund for the States, will deposit 2.5 billion pesos, will transfer another 1 billion pesos for the investment in state in infrastructure, and finally for the FEIP, the transfer will be of 6.4 billion pesos. Therefore, by the end of January, resources will reach close to 25 billion pesos. If we include the 8.2 billion pesos that are transferred this month and are transferred every year, as you know very well, associated to expected oil revenues. If we add the long-term oil reserves for 23.4 billion pesos, this means that around 50 billion pesos will be in the FAIP by the end of, 25 billion pesos in the FAIP and the other one in the oil reserve, but will be could be used for budget stabilization purposes. In total, the funds by the end of January will have 74 billion pesos. Now, for expenditures, the additional 422 billion pesos in revenues plus a fiscal stimulus of 59.8 billion pesos, which is the budgetary deficit, plus 67.1 billion pesos in reduced non-programmable spending allowed increasing programmable spending by 548.8 billion pesos. I would like to emphasize the following. First, even if we exclude the transfer made to Pemex for debt amortization purposes, spending increased 346.2 billion pesos or 1.3% of GDP compared to the program. This represents additional investment infrastructure, increased health and social protection spending, and ensuring the reliability of the national electricity system, among other results. Second, the fiscal investment, if we include the resources used by the Dos Bocas refinery, increased 9% in real terms compared to 2020 and amounted to 3.1% of GDP. As you know, the transfers that the federal government makes for this purpose, for building the Dos Bocas refinery, is registered as financial investment, although in the end it reflects in physical investment, actually. So that's why the clarification here. And number three, financial costs decreased 5.3% in real terms in 2021, continuing a decline from 2020. In the middle of very complex and uncertain times in financial markets. This is, of course, the result of very innovative and efficient management strategies that the team at the public debt has followed, and they will talk more about it in a few minutes. So as percentage of GDP, financial cost has remained stable at around 2.6% over the last years. Finally, let me talk to you about balances and debt. The year-end figures for the balances and debt summarize the government's commitment to fiscal responsibility and to careful planning and use of public resources. The budgetary deficit was 78.5 billion pesos lower than the third quarter report estimate that we presented back in October. Now, spending was actually higher by close to 134 billion pesos, but the revenues increased even more by 192.2 billion pesos. The public deficit stood at 2.9% of GDP, which was the figure that we presented back in 2020, in the 2021 economic package. The primary deficit improved 58.5 billion pesos over the third quarter estimate, which was mainly driven by the reduction in the budgetary deficit. The PSBR, our broadest measure of deficit, stood at 3.8% of GDP, lower than the third quarter report forecast by 0.5 percentage points, and this was mostly driven by the lower public deficit and also by financial investment that we made through Fonadin of 20 billion pesos in December to boost investment in infrastructure this year. Finally, these numbers, the historical balance of the PSBR stood at 50.1% of GDP, which was a reduction of 1.6 percentage points compared to the 2020 figures and lower by 3.6 percentage points compared to the 53.7% estimate that we presented in the 2021 economic package. I'm gonna now give the floor to my colleague, Mari Carmen, to talk about debt. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Kakeme. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for the opportunity to share the main actions regarding debt management during the fourth quarter of 2021. I would like to reemphasize the commitment of the federal government to manage the public debt in a responsible, transparent, and efficient manner. We permanently pursue strategies to improve our maturity profile, reduce the refinancing risk, and seek cost-efficient transactions. The main objective of the debt management policy remains to maintain the public debt in a sustainable downward path as percentage of GDP. In this regard, I will now summarize the main actions contained in the report. Domestic debt management. During 2021, the federal government was actively seeking and engaging in opportunities to execute strategies in an effort to improve our debt profile. Despite the adverse effects inherited from the ongoing pandemic and the volatility in the international markets, given inflation and monetary reaccommodation policies, the federal government was able to execute successful financing and refinancing operations with favorable results. During the fourth quarter, the federal government continued with an intensive refinancing effort, executed on October 27, the fourth switch operation of the year. The total amount of this transaction reached over 212,000 million pesos, being the biggest refinancing operation in the history of the local debt market. This transaction allowed the Ministry of Finance to reduce liquidity pressures for over 159,000 million pesos between 2021 and 2022. Moreover, on November 17, the federal government issued a new M bono reference for a total amount of 15,000 million pesos. On December 6, a switch operation was concluded with the purpose of continuing the transition of Bondes D to Bondes F. This operation accounted for an amount of over 172,000 million pesos, the third biggest operation in the local debt market history. With this operation, the federal government increased the liquidity of the new Bondes F, optimized the maturity profile, and allowed the holders to reconfigure their portfolios, especially given the volatility and the monetary accommodation, specifically in developed markets. On Deck 17, the Ministry of Finance, together with the Central Bank, executed another switch operation for 50,000 million pesos, where the Central Bank withdrew Bondes D, and the Ministry of Finance sold Bondes F. This increased the liquidity of the new curve and allow investors also to update their portfolios. It's important to reemphasize that the federal government will keep on encouraging the development of this risk-free reference rate, keep the liquidity cash curve with different tenors, as mentioned previously in our first quarter debt program for local markets, promote a more efficient derivatives market, and contribute to build a local OIS curve. Finally, the first financing operation of 2022 was executed on January 12th for a total amount of approximately 131,000 million pesos. This operation allowed as well to keep on reducing liquidity pressures in the short-term curve of M-bonos and UDI-bonos. The federal government has been intensive in this policy during this administration. As a result, from 2019 to 2022, approximately 1.2 billion pesos have been refinanced. And just in 2021, the amount accounts for nearly 498,000 million pesos. Regarding foreign debt management for the fourth quarter, we don't have any new operations, but I just would like to highlight that in these efforts from this administration, from July 2019 up to date, the federal government refinanced approximately $10 billion of debt that originally matured from 2021 to 2023 through make-whole execution. In this sense, I would like to share some risk metrics of the portfolio. In the fourth quarter of 2021, the federal government preserved healthy risk indicators. The currency risk remained low, with 77.7% of the federal government's net debt being denominated in domestic currency and 22.3% denominated in foreign currency. This effort has been done as well of rebalancing foreign debt into local currency denominated debt. Additionally, refinancing risk maintains a low level since the average maturity of foreign market debt is 21 years and the average maturity of domestic market debt is 10.3 years. Lastly, interest rate risk is also limited. 78.2% of domestic market debt held a long-term and fixed nominal and real rate, while 100% of external market debt is in a fixed rate. Now, regarding debt levels as percentage of GDP, In the fourth quarter of 2022, the historical balance of public sector borrowing requirements stood at 50.1% of GDP, that already Cajeme just mentioned. The domestic share represented 33.2% of GDP and the external share 16.9% of GDP. With respect to public sector's net debt, which includes the net debt of the federal government, the state-owned enterprises and development banks, this figure was 49.9% of GDP, percent of GDP, and the end of the fourth quarter of 2021. The domestic share of this net debt represented 32.7% of GDP and the external, and the external share 17.2% of GDP. Lastly, the federal government's net debt was 39.7% of GDP at the end of this quarter. The domestic component of this net debt represented 30.8% of GDP and the external component 8.9% of GDP. Thank you so much for your attention, and we will now proceed to the Q&A.